On two occasions, we find King David asking this question. Verse 29, we read, "The king said, 'Is the young man Absalom safe?'" As you enter this chapter, you are brought straight into the battleground. 20,000 followers of Absalom, they sadly died in this battleground there in the wood of Ephraim. This was a tragic event, and it was also a very, very sorrowful event. It was sorrowful, yes, because 20,000 people lost their lives. But I suggest to you that it was perhaps far more sorrowful because of why it happened. You see, it happened because King David's third son, Absalom, had risen up against him and sought to usurp him from his throne. Absalom was the third, but also the favorite son of David. Early on in young Absalom's life, we find the influence of sin beginning to rear its ugly head. There he committed the gross sin of murder as he slain one of his brothers named Amnon. After this, he fled to his mother's house, where he dwelt there for 3 years in hiding. After he spent 3 years in hiding, he decided that he would return to Jerusalem and seek reconciliation with his father. He had slain one of his brothers, Amnon, and this had broken King David's heart. Could you imagine, as a parent, the scene? Watching one of your children literally slay another child. King David's heart was broken by this incident. And whenever Absalom came to seek reconciliation with David, he was asked by Joab to wait a further 2 years before seeing his father David, as David found it very, very difficult to forgive Absalom for killing another one of his sons, Amnon. Now, in this 2 years period of waiting on his father, Absalom, he decided that he would take matters into his own hands. He decided that he would rebel against King David and actually set himself up as king of Israel. We find that as he did this in 2 Samuel chapter 15, he was successful. He was successful in gathering together a following after him, because 2 Samuel 15 verse 6 tells us, "Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." You imagine it. King David getting on in years, and now this young man, who obviously took pride in his appearance, because there's frequent reference made to his long locks or to his hair, and this younger, more bright, more charismatic version of David, he came and he literally stole the hearts of the men of Israel, watching his dynasty disappear before his very eyes. This scared King David, and so he decided to run away from his position, and he ran to the River Jordan. After a while in hiding and gathering himself together, King David, he decided that he would do something that he really didn't want to do. He decided that he would gather his own army together of those who had been faithful to him, and that he would fight against Absalom's armies. And this is where we now find ourselves in 2 Samuel chapter 18. Here we find David. He's gathered together his company of men. He split them into three segments or three sections. And he's about to send them out into battle against Absalom, his son, and also his army. But of course, David, whilst he was concerned for his kingdom, David had far, far greater worries. As a parent, David, he gathered together his commanders, Joab and Ittai, and he said, "Look, when you're out in the battle, I want you to do something." Verse 5 tells us in 2 Samuel 18, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom." David himself, he wanted to go to battle. He wanted to ensure that this, I believe, was enforced. He wanted to ensure that no matter what would happen in the battle, that Absalom, his son, probably one of his favorite sons, that Absalom was safe. But under the influence and the direction of the people, David, he didn't go to battle. He probably went to a nearby city in the east, the city of Mahanaim. And so there we find David. David, he now sent his troops into battle against his son, and their armies. And now he's here. He's in a fort-like city. And he's standing there and he's waiting on top of the gates, waiting for news, waiting about the outcome of the battle. Eventually he sees two people running towards him. And he, of course, realizes that they're bearing tidings from the battlefield. He confronts Ahimaaz, and then he confronts Cushai, these individuals, and he asks this question: is the young man Absalom safe? How did the battle go? And more importantly, is my son, is Absalom, the young man, is he safe? And you know, David's question to these men is the same question that the Lord asks you this evening. Are you safe? Is it well with you? Is it well with your soul? Because the Bible makes it very, very clear to us that there are only two categories of people here on earth. There are those who are safe, and there are those who are unsafe. Safe in the sense that those who are safe, they are not subject to the danger of the wrath and judgment of God. Safe because they are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Safe because they're resting in him solely for their salvation. But then there are those, and they're not safe. They're safe, and they are not safe in the sense that they are in terrible, terrible danger, in danger of falling into the chasms of hell. They are in danger because their sin has evoked the wrath of God, and they are heading for a terrible, terrible place. A terrible, terrible place. A place of danger and a place of destruction. And so when you think about it, these two categories on earth, I'm asking you tonight, and the Lord's asking you more importantly, are you safe? Are you safe in the sense that you're in amongst those who have been redeemed by the blood? Those who are trusting in Christ? Are you safe? In the sense that if you're not saved, then you are not as safe before the Lord. And so tonight I want to take up this question. And if you take away nothing else from this meeting, take away this question with you. David's question: is the young man safe? Is the young man safe? I want you to see firstly the causes for this question. The causes for this question. In seeking to understand this question, let's dig a little deeper. Were there reasons as to why David would ask this question concerning his son Absalom? Well, I believe there were. Because if you flip through the narrative of this story in the Bible, you will discover that there were certain aspects of Absalom's lifestyle that caused David to be a very, very concerned parent. Two aspects of his lifestyle that I want to leave with you as to and give you reasons as to why David asked this question: is the young man safe? Think with me about Absalom's attitude, his attitude. 2 Samuel 15, verse 4 tells us, Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me. Here we find Absalom. He's seeking reconciliation with David. And there, as he's in waiting, we find that he does something. He goes to the city gate. The city gate, of course, really was the place where there were judicial decisions, legal decisions made at this time. It's a bit like our court system today. The city gate is where legal transactions and judgments were made. And Absalom comes to this gate, and he says to the person there, oh, that I were made judge in the land. In other words, he's saying this. He's saying, you know, if I was king, things would be different. If I was king, I would make different decisions. If I was king, I would do things differently. And here we find Absalom. What's he doing? He's usurping the king's authority, and he's also rebelling against his father. Now, this is very, very interesting. And I want you to follow me with this. Because in the Bible, rebelling against parents and dishonoring parents was a grievous, grievous crime. And a grievous, grievous sin. In Deuteronomy 21, we read in verses 20 and 21 that we read there, there shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. In other words, if there was a son or a daughter, and they were grossly rebelling against their parents, they were brought to the city gates. And the Bible tells us that they were stoned. And so here we find Absalom's rebellion against his father. Oh, it was placing him in terrible danger, was it not? And here we find David, a concerned parent, looking at the attitude of rebellion in his son. Look, realizing that his son is in danger, he asks this question, is the young man safe? He asks it because his son is exhibiting the attitude of rebellion. You see, rebellion is not harmless, but rather harmful. Rebellion against God's law and having an attitude of rebellion, does it not bring you into a very, very precarious and unsafe position before the Lord? And when you think about it, not only just children, but all of us, are we not prone to rebellion? We see that there's a law there, even in civil matters. And we know that it tells us not to do certain things or to have a certain attitude, even in terms of the natural realm, let alone the spiritual realm. And it is our very nature to rebel against it, is it not? It's within our nature to rebel against authority. And when you think about this much more personally, you think about it even in relationships in life, here the Lord is teaching us that the sin of rebellion, it's a very, very grievous sin, and it places us, if we're guilty of this sin, in a terribly, terribly unsafe position before the Lord. And so I ask you, are you guilty of the sin of rebellion? Rebellion against God's law? Rebellion against his revealed standard in his word? We are all guilty of this. And so this places us in a very, very precarious, a very, very slippery position before the Lord. As if to further emphasize this, Solomon, David's son, he wrote in Proverbs 20, verse 20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Imagine yourself to be in a dark room. And just at the end of the room, there's a little candle that it's lit. And that is keeping the light bright beaming in that room. And then all of a sudden, something happens. And that light goes out. And now you're in complete darkness. And what does Solomon teach us here? He teaches us that the young person, the older person, as we rebel against our earthly and our heavenly parent, it causes the light of our lives to be put out, and we are then cast into a place of eternal darkness. You see, disobedience leads to destruction. And oh, tonight, as you realize these truths, realize not only, yes, have you rebelled against the law of God, but you're in grave danger. In danger because the Lord punishes sin. And he specifically punishes the sin of rebellion. I ask you even specifically tonight, young person, even children in the meeting, if you dishonor your parents, the Bible tells us, Exodus 20, we need to honor our parents. And so if we go against that, then you're in terrible, terrible danger. You're in danger of being punished. Being punished because of your rebellion. You know, in 1945, the last capital punishment for high treason was carried out in Britain on a man named William Joyce. He was a news broadcaster. He was British, but he worked in Germany. And he was a broadcaster for the Nazis. He urged Britain to surrender to Nazi Germany. He was then brought back to Britain, and he was sentenced for his crimes against the state. And because of his attitude of rebellion, he was in danger, and he actually fell to a terrible destruction. And here's Absalom. Here's Absalom. And he's out in the battle, yes. And yes, he's in danger there. But David knows this. David's a godly man. He knows the Bible. And he knows that if his son continues on in his rebellion, that he's going to be punished, that he's going to die. Absalom's attitude. But I think there's another reason as to why David asks this question. Is the young man safe? Not only his attitude, but also Absalom's advisor. His advisor. In 2 Samuel 16, we find that there was a person in Absalom's life giving him bad advice. Verses 20 and 21, we read about this man. We read there 2 Samuel 16, verse 20. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, "Give counsel among you what we shall do." And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, "Go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father." Absalom goes to a man named Ahithophel for advice. The name Ahithophel, it actually means foolish brother in Hebrew. And that's exactly what Ahithophel was. He was a foolish man. And he gave very, very foolish advice to Absalom. He basically said to him, "Absalom, your dad's away. He's left the palace. He's away running. He's away hiding. If you go in and you lie with his concubines, then all Israel will see that you are now the king. David, he is scared of you. Your father, he's frightened of you." And he tells him to do this, and so he's giving him bad advice. Ahithophel had previously been an advisor to David and also his counselor. But in 2 Samuel 15, we read of him simply deserting David. And now we find Absalom. Here he's a young man and he's easily influenced. And Ahithophel, a man who has left the side of King David and now sees potential for a position with Absalom, he gives him terribly, terribly bad advice. And this word actually got back to David there at the River Jordan. David knew this. David knew that Ahithophel had left his side, that he is now following Absalom. He knew that he was giving Absalom bad advice. And so here's David now pacing up and down. And yes, he's concerned about Absalom's attitude of rebellion, but he also knows Absalom's getting bad advice. Getting bad advice. And so again, he asks the question, is the young man Absalom safe? He's asking this because he realizes he's being advised from a foolish man. In taking advice, you're not to be careless. You're to be careful. To be careful on the kind of advice that you receive and accept. Perhaps tonight, you have an Ahithophel in your life. A foolish brother, a foolish individual, and they're giving you bad advice. Maybe it's not a person. Maybe it's something else. Maybe perhaps it's the media. Maybe perhaps it's a mate. And they're telling you not to do this, not to listen to the Lord. The Lord asks you the question, are you safe? But there's this other voice in your mind, and it's saying, what will that person say? What will they think? They've told me against this thing. They've warned me. And maybe perhaps there's just something or someone giving you bad advice. And I say, whether it be young or old, whether you be a young person or an older person in this meeting this evening, maybe perhaps there's something feeding you. Perhaps your mind or perhaps some other aspect of your life, and they're giving you bad advice. And that's leading you to fall. That's leading you to be in a very, very unsafe position. Proverbs 13:20 warns us against this thing, this type of thing. We read, "He that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." The person who keeps good company with good company will be affected by them. They will learn from them. They will learn from their wisdom. But conversely, the companion of fools, he'll be destroyed. And so I advise you this evening, be very careful who and what will impact you. Because it might be, it just might be, that you're getting bad advice. That you're being fed from some media outlet, some media source. And it's encouraging you to go on in your sin. To pursue in that attitude of rebellion. To continue in your hatred of God. And how then relevant the question then that I, and more importantly, the Lord puts to you this evening, are you safe? Are you safe? Is it well with you? Perhaps it's not well with you. Perhaps you're not safe because you're getting bad advice. When I was thinking about this, I thought about the dramatic conversion of the Reverend Armand Tomassian. I'm sure you'll know him well. I'm sure he's preached in this pulpit a time or two. But you know, as a young man, before he was saved, he would often tell about how he was advised by the television. He was an atheist in his late teens. And he loved to turn on the television and watch the nature programs and be fed by David Attenborough, who he constantly names in his testimony. You see, he was getting bad advice. He was being advised by a bad source. And that was leading him on in the path of atheism. But more importantly, it was leading him on in the path of danger and doom. And oh, tonight, be very, very careful. Be very, very careful on who or what advises you. Because it just might be that you're getting bad advice. And that's causing you to slip down into the very, very clutches of hell. The causes for this question. But I want you to see secondly here the concern behind this question. The concern behind this question. Verse 5, we read, "The king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom." That's 2 Samuel 18 and the verse number 5. You know, David was a godly man, as I've been saying. He was a man who walked with the Lord. A man who, the Bible tells us, he loved the Lord. Man who wrote many of the Psalms. And you know, one of the Psalms that David wrote, it states this. It states, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him." I believe personally that David knew that Absalom wasn't going to be the next king. The Bible comes and it intimates there of Solomon, of the Lord coming to David and actually telling him that Solomon was going to be the next king, not his young son Absalom. So here's David, and he knows this. He sees his son pursuing on in an attitude of rebellion. He sees his son getting bad advice. And all in the back of his mind, he knows that Absalom's not going to be the next king, that Solomon is. And so here we find him now as he is king, now as he's there and his son's in battle. We find that he has this concern. He's concerned. I think it's very interesting that David asked this question, is the young man safe? David was a king. David was in danger of losing his dynasty. David was in danger of completely losing everything. But whenever Ahimaaz and Cushai come to him and bear tidings of the battle, he didn't ask them, how's the battle? Didn't ask them, are we winning or are we losing? He asked them, is the young man safe? Why? Because he's a concerned father who wants his son to be rescued. And young person, remember this. Remember that your parents are not content with your rebellion. That rather, they are concerned about your rebellion. You have those in your life who are concerned about your soul. They see things in your life. See patterns in your life. See the pattern of rebellion. See you perhaps being advised from this and from that. And they have this concern. Wonder tonight, perhaps, have you a concerned parent or a concerned grandparent? And they have this question on their minds. Is my son safe? Is my daughter safe? Is my grandson safe? Is my granddaughter safe? Because of your rebellion against them, and more importantly, God, you're breaking their heart. And so I have this concern for you. This concern to see you rescued. There was the causes for this question and the concern behind this question. David was very, very concerned. But I want you to see, lastly, the consequences of this question. The consequences of this question. Because here we find in the narrative that David here, as he asks this, there are consequences. Just as you ask a question in the natural realm, there are consequences. You're waiting on the response, you're waiting on the news. So there were consequences behind this question that David asked. I want you to see two consequences. See with me the consequence of a reply. We read there of 2 Samuel 18, and Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as the young man is." David asked this question, and so really he must firstly brace himself for the fact that the consequence is going that there is going to be a reply. He sees Ahimaaz come along, come from the battle. And he asks Ahimaaz, "Well, is the young man safe?" And Ahimaaz, he's very gentle about the whole thing. Verse 29, he says, I saw a great tumult." In other words, he's saying there was a battle, there was fighting, but he didn't actually see what happened. I didn't see that did anybody specifically die or not. Then there's another man coming, Cushai. And again, David asked him, after asking Ahimaaz to stand by and to wait, he again asked Cushai, "Is the young man safe?" But Cushai is much more blunt in his response. He says that your enemies be as that young man is. In other words, David, yes, we've won the battle. But also, David, sadly, your son is dead. The final verdict concerning this young man was that sadly, he was not safe. And outside of Christ, you're not safe, but rather you are unsafe. And tonight the question has been asked you. Are you safe? Is the young man safe? Is the young woman safe? And maybe, just maybe, because when you think about all that has been said already, this attitude of rebellion and this bad advice that you're getting, tonight you've come to that point in life where you realize that you're not safe. You realize that it's not well with you. If you were asked that question, you would have to give the honest response, "No, I'm not safe." Maybe perhaps then there's another question in your mind. If I'm not safe, how then can I be safe? That, of course, is the question that you need to ask, is it not? And the answer of how to be safe before the Lord is summed up in Romans 5, verse 9. There we read, "Being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." There we read of being safe, or of being saved. And the Bible teaches us here that we can be saved from wrath or from danger by being justified by the blood of Christ. That simply means trusting in Christ's work on the cross. You'll notice there that salvation is not set forth as a plan, but salvation is set forth in a person. Being justified by his blood. Saved from wrath through him. In other words, salvation is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And tonight, that's how you can be safe. If you're trusting in him, resting in him, looking to his blood to atone for your soul. But sadly, David's son Absalom, sadly, he wasn't safe. He wasn't safe. And so there was the consequence of a reply, but there was another consequence. Lastly, there was the consequence of a reaction. David had now just found out his son wasn't safe. And how did David respond? Well, verse 33 tells us of 2 Samuel 18, "And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept." David heard the reply, and so the ball was in his court. He then had to react to this news. Whenever he heard the terrible news concerning his son, we're told he wept. He said in this verse, "O my son Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom." He wept bitterly. He had just discovered that his son wasn't safe. Why was David so sorrowful? Well, David was sorrowful obviously because he had already lost one of his sons, Amnon, and now he's lost another son, Absalom. But you know, I believe David was sorrowful not only because his son was physically dead, but I believe that David reacted this way because he realized his son, Absalom, because of how he lived, he perished in hell. And so he says these remarkable words, "Would God I had died for thee." In other words, he's saying, "Absalom, I wish I had died instead of you. Because Absalom, if I had died, at least the Lord would be my shepherd. At least the Lord was my light, my salvation, my strength. I have nothing to fear. But Absalom, you weren't saved. And Absalom, I have a broken heart because you're in hell." The terror of the soul should bring turmoil to the saint. It should cause your heart to break. You know, when this question is asked, is the young man safe? Do we not look around? Can we not see many of whom it could be said, no, the young man isn't safe. The young woman isn't safe. The young child, they're not safe. The man, the woman, they're not safe. And I wonder tonight, do we have that same concern of soul? Wonder, could we say like Paul, "My heart's desire and prayer to God is that they might be saved." Wonder tonight, would you even say like David, "I wish I had died in their place, because at least I would have gone to heaven." David's question, is the young man safe? Here we find his son out in battle. Out in the battle of the wood at Ephraim. He's waiting for news. And that's his concern. That's his desire. He wants to know, is his young son safe? And tonight, the same question is asked of you. Are you safe? Or are you unsafe? I trust that it'll not be said of you that it was said of Absalom. No, the young man is not safe. Oh, tonight, take that question home with you. Meditate over it, pray over it, and ensure that you're safe before the Lord. May God bless his word to your hearts and souls this evening.